Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. The name's Earth.
I'm your huckleberry.
We see we cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for March 1st, 2021. I'm your host, Zach, and joining this week we have Chris.
Hello.
And let's jump right in. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about this week. And we'll kick things off with some trailers. And we actually got the first trailer this week for the new Tom Clancy movie that's coming to Prime Video. Prime Video is expanding its Tom Clancyverse, although not really, because they're not. I don't believe they're connected to each other, but Without Remorse is coming at the end of April on Prime Video, with Michael B. Jordan starring as John Clark, Navy SEAL, and then in the world of Tom Clancy, the future leader of Rainbow Six.
Is he?
Yes. Eventually, like, John Clark becomes, like, he's the head of Rainbow Six.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that. I only played the Las Vegas games more.
Yeah.
So I just never knew. Like, I knew, like, Jack Ryan becomes the president of everything. But.
Yeah, this is all like that's all like book lore stuff. So like the Rainbow Six novel and stuff.
But is Rot Remorse something that's based on the book?
There's a novel Without Remorse that was like I believe that came out like way after Rainbow Six. Well, it was like kind of like let's give John Clark his own solo like story or whatever. So.
All right. Only because Rainbow Six, like, the concept as, like, the efficient squad is really interesting.
Yeah.
But when you break down per character, it's, like, a hit or miss.
Yeah.
Of, like, who's maybe, your favorite assistant guy?
Maybe they'll tease at the end of this movie, and then maybe we'll actually get a Rainbow Six movie if this one does well. Although it's going to be a Prime Video exclusive, so I don't know how they really judge.
Yeah, how do you make this Amazon connected universe?
Yeah. But, so Michael B. Jordan is John Clark. His pregnant wife is murdered in an attack by Russian soldiers who attack his house, and so he is off to get revenge. He teams up with another Navy SEAL and a CIA agent, and they kind of like head out to like take down these Russian guys. But they find out there's this whole big conspiracy going on with like people higher up in government and shadowy people all over the place. So typical Tom Clancy stuff going on, like government conspiracies and international espionage. And looks like some pretty cool action. I've never seen before, it was pretty awesome, was like Michael Jordan like lights the car on fire with a guy inside of it, which is like that's a standard like action movie move, which is like, but then normally if the car would like explode, like
yep.
I thought
I was watching another rough cut for this next part.
Yeah, but then John Clark gets into the car, burning car, and is like questioning the guy inside the burning car, which is like, all right, I've never seen this before.
Yeah, and I'm just like, how's the car not filled with smoke?
Yeah,
whatever smoke proof car he drives, like some sort of like air sealed, because like, you know, if you like. You know, like you run over a skunk or like a skunk smell gets in your car just by passing yeah. by. It fills your car. You light like, a gallon of gasoline just like around you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty intimidating because it's just like, holy shit, you're burning my car. Holy shit, you're in my car.
You don't care about anything. Yeah.
You don't care about anything. Right. He just grabs that door handle like it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's obviously like CG for the one part, but how did he time that?
Yeah. Has he done that before? Like, is this, like, a standard, like, John Clark move?
Yeah, I'm just like, he seemed really smooth for a guy who just, like, out of anger did this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the jarring part. I kind of feel like that would be an amazing, like, in the movie moment, but the trailer kind of ruined it for me, because I watched that scene three times, just like, wow, no hesitation. He just hot car and just got in. It's badass. Visionary badass, but I wish he wore, like, I wish he prepared. I wish maybe like he had like an elf glove on.
Yeah.
Or like he kept the door open, you know, before he jumped in. That's my only gripe.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, Michael B. Jordan looks fucking awesome. He looks like Killmonger, like as like a rogue,
yeah,
guy who's just like ripped and pissed off, and that's before he like gets his wife killed. His wife like is murdered. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know what policy that was. It was like, all right, he's just like this number one, like whatever foreign, like terrorist group. It was like, all right, here's the plan: go in this guy's house. He's armed. He's trained. Kill his wife. Mm-hmm. Like what? Yeah, and just do that.
Well, I think they there's like a voiceover where it's like, oh, other members of the team have gotten killed, but then John Clark survives his attack. So then he's like, so he's like, I'm gonna go take these guys out.
My bet, not to spoil much, but I can kind of see the based on like the typical formula for this kind of setup. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be minor spoiler for it, but I feel like it's someone he knows that betrayed everybody.
Yep.
It's because they did something or they saw something they shouldn't have seen or that they want to cover up.
I feel like, considering Guy Pearce is in this movie, I feel like Guy Pearce is like the villain or whatever. Like he's like the, like he's the head of the conspiracy or something. Like, cause he's like some sort of like secretary, like in like the, whatever, like in the government or something. So
some government official that's trying to like clean house.
Yeah.
Cause not SEAL Team 6 did something or saw something.
Yeah.
It's gonna
be like Shooter or something, like same setup of like,
yeah,
like it's like,
or Green Zone.
Was Green Zone the same thing? I don't remember Green Zone at all.
It was that Matt Damon one.
Yeah, I know what it was. I saw it once and just like completely forgot everything about it. So
I believe it was something like they went in and because the Green Zone's like a peaceful zone and then like the government was starting shit and Matt Damon refused to like carry it through.
Yeah.
So it's like, what happens when they go home and it's just like, well, you know, you disobeyed and like you know too much. Mm-hmm. So your team has to go. So I feel like that's what it is. Unless it's completely like a curveball where it's like, no, it's like a super spy organization. So now you have to form Rainbow Six to like go after them.
Yeah, team up with this guy, Jack Ryan. Which I don't believe is gonna happen because I don't think they're like linking the John Krasinski Jack Ryan series to this.
You know, if they were smart, they would. Like,
yes,
the beauty, least you mentioned earlier, but, like, the beauty of having it all in the same, like, studio and the same kind of company is that expanded universes work. They've been proven to work if done well. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure, like, this is Paramount, right? Like,
Well, I think they sold it to Prime Video.
Right.
Because this was going to be theatrical. In theaters.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, it looks theatrical. I'm just saying, like, that's now you're getting this new problem where Paramount is probably pretty much have to, like, buy back everything that connects to their studio if they want to make, like, a cool-ass universe. I would see a Tom Clancy universe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if Prime wanted to do, like, yeah, like, this, like, make up some sort of Clancy-verse and have, like, Jack Ryan, and then, yeah, Without Remorse.
Michael B. Jordan.
Like, yeah, and then do Rainbow Six, and
Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
And I would watch, like,
Ghost Recon.
I'd watch that shit.
Yeah.
I would love to watch, like, a cool military thing that, like, kind of isn't just, like, a procedural. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you watch, like, Navy SEALs or SEALs.
Oh, God. The CBS show?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I've never seen that.
It's the closest thing to, like, a Rainbow Six in the terms of, like, Wildlands. Like, mm-hmm. a Ghost Recon or something. It mm-hmm. just, like... But it becomes, like, a procedural show.
Yeah.
I would love to see this not to be that. But anyway, I'm still excited for it. It looks pretty cool. It's got that... Though it does have a John Wick vibe in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, yeah, it's gonna be April 30th on Prime Video, so get ready for that. It's directed by Stefano Salima, who directed Sicario: Day of the Soldado, which I was not, like, it had cool parts, but the whole, like, overall that movie was not that great, so hopefully this is better. And it's written by Tyler Sheridan, who wrote the original Sicario, and also Hell or High Water and a bunch of other stuff, so. Yeah, it definitely seems like it's going to have, like, it has, like, a Sicario style, but like it's probably more action-y than Sicario, although Sicario had some really good action scenes, in especially the first one, like with like that like freeway scene and stuff. But definitely leaning more toward like revenge, John Wick, that style thing. So. So, speaking of Guy Pearce, he's also in another movie that we got a trailer for this week, The Seventh Day, which is coming to, I believe, VOD and digital and on demand on end of this month, March 26th. And it's a new entry in the Exorcist genre of horror movies, although this one seems like it's kind of trying to like, set itself apart by kind of like making it more like a like Training Day David Ayer style like cop exorcist thing, where it's like the grizzled veteran priest teams up with the rookie priest to like investigate these demon exorcism things going on around the city. And Guy Pearce is like he's not like a traditional priest. He's like he doesn't wear a collar. He's like undercover and stuff.
Yeah, he's more street priesting.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, street priest.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it's like almost like a Men in Black attitude of like, we're the protectors of the last line of defense of religious crimes. And then the way they handle the investigation is like a paranormal detective story. You know, it's not just like a religious ceremony. Or it's like a
they're on the streets like going through like they're like visiting like homeless people who are like, getting possessed apparently, and then there's like an interrogation room with like someone's getting like possessed and stuff. So
yeah, but it's just confusing a little bit.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely a lot of like cop kind of procedural like things kind of like fused together with like exorcist stuff, because Definitely looks like there's a lot of traditional like exorcist demon stuff going on too, but with the buddy cop dynamic, I guess, or like the like Training Day dynamic or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it buddy cop because it seems like Guy Pearce is so goddamn like
so jaded and grizzled. And,
he's like, ugh, it's just so hard being a street priest.
I take it down too many demons.
And I'm just really not into that genre. Like, to be honest, like, it seems like one of those things where it always ends in, like, you know, some weird tone where it's like, oh, you know, the demon wins, but it didn't win the war. Like, something like that, you know? Like, it's always those crazy endings.
Well, it's usually either they usually, like, I think most of the time, it's either like, they get rid of the demon, but then it's like they're still evil out in the world or whatever, or it's like the demon kills everyone and then the demon wins. Like,
yeah, but then it's like it didn't win what it wanted or something. Like, it didn't get the one thing it wanted. It'll kill like the priest. The priest is like really expendable, but it's really about like the soul they want to get in the end.
Yeah. Like the Conjuring movies, like the Warrens usually like defeat the demons or whatever. But then there's stuff like, I don't know, like the last, like, is it like the last exorcism or stuff, like where they like they don't get rid of the demon kills everyone.
Yeah, something like that. Like, it's just, it's always crazy things that I'm always like, eh. I just have no fun with watching those movies.
Yeah. But at least this one looks like it's trying like do something a little bit different than like the like stand like all the other like exorcist movies that have come out recently. Like,
oh,
a lot of those are just like they're like obviously just trying to like kind of like copy the Exorcist basically. It's like the same, a lot of the same formula, a lot of the same, you see a lot of the same stuff, you see a lot of like contortioning and like foul, like the demons are like foul mouthed bashing the priests and stuff. And
You always get
it's like all the like exorcism scenes are always kind of the same. It's like always just like hold the cross up, yell Latin at them, throw holy water on them, like. Yeah, it always goes back to the Exorcist. And nothing will ever live up to that movie, obviously. So.
No matter how many times they try to remake that Capture the Spirit, it never quite gets there.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're into that genre, this will be out at the end of this month, so you can check that out. So moving on to other news, we got some more Netflix anime news. This like Netflix is just gonna be at some point just like all just like anime or anime inspired series apparently at some point. But they just ordered a Terminator anime series that's gonna be coming soon. It's actually coming from Production IG, which is the anime studio that brought you like Ghost in the Shell and Eden of the East and Be the Beginning, and also Skydance, who I believe has the rights to Terminator now, are also producing the show. We don't really know like what the plot is or where, if it's anywhere in like the timeline or like if they're just gonna like wipe everything out again and just be like, well, Terminator 1 and 2 are the only ones that exist again.
Yeah, I could see them doing that. I could see them clean slated. But the anime doesn't need to be the, you know, John Connor or Sarah Connor like timeline. It could be like another group.
I would be so down with like just this entire anime show is just the future war, but like the actual like purple laser future war, not the like salvation war, but like the actual like the one we see like in actually in like 1 and 2, where like the marching and like T1 marching and those skeletons and like the lasers and the hunter killers and like all that stuff and the trucks with machine guns at the back and stuff. Like if this entire show was just that, that would be amazing. Because I don't think we need another like, and they sent the Terminator back to the 80s or whatever, or back to like what the current time to stop to like kill this new person who's the savior, or like try to kill John Connor again, or like.
I mean, okay, so you could watch a Terminator, like you can enjoy the Terminator in a few different slices. Like the Terminator doesn't always have to be a time travel series.
Yeah.
Even though that's how it started. But once you cut down the basics of like, oh, this machine from the future comes back to the past just to murder someone, It's fine, because like that also works as a premise. So you just need like a show where it's like, well, the term, because there's this comic I read recently, like the last year or two, which is the one Dark Horse had, where like a Terminator comes back to the past and like during the same time as sending one to kill Sarah, it sends another to kill like other resistant leaders that are future, like it's like people that help the future in other ways. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like it's just like, oh, we're going after these other people. So that is a cool idea. So you can kind of do like a one shot, you know, two episodes of like a Terminator showing up to the past and hunting down like these kids or this adult who helps like, you know, becomes like a mentor to a next generation and have them try to fight back the Terminator. And the cool part is it's not always like they win or something. So the Terminator could kill the person, but like the repercussions also affect the future. So it's like, mm-hmm. you know, the machines don't quite know, like they keep fucking up. So it's like, they never know what's going to happen until it happens. So I like that freedom. Like they can make a Terminator series like that, where the Terminator series is trying to like calculate, like, oh, if you murdered this person, you know, it could put our odds in our favor.
Yeah, I think anything that's like kind of away from like the Sarah Connor, John Connor storyline, yeah. I think like that would be much more interesting than like trying to like rehash that again.
Yeah, just give me like an unstoppable killer that is chasing after someone. Mm-hmm. Like that's, you know, after so many weird versions of future teching the Terminator, who's also like future teched, so it's like you gotta like step up something to stop it. Like just go back to basics and don't give me this crazy okay, yeah, like we stopped it once but turns out like it happened with another version or something like that, you know. Just give me the Skynet.
Yeah,
don't give me this other not Skynet.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god! Yeah, I completely forgot what the like new one it was. Like, there was like it's not Skynet. It's like this, but it's, yeah, it's basically the exact same thing. Yeah.
So. I'm fine with like a future series because it kind of gets back to basics with like humans versus robots then.
And that would, I feel like you definitely like make it look awesome too, if like with like the anime style, like the anime style of like that of like the like the dark purple laser future war.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's gonna look kind of dated because the future where Terminators happened was like what, 2020?
So 2019. Yeah, I don't know.
And then
Judgment Day was like 97, according to like Terminator 2, I think.
So it was like 2000.
But then it got delayed in Terminator 3 to like 2000 or something, or 2001 or 2 or whatever. So
really not much of a delay.
Yeah.
And then the because like most of the John Connor army, if you remember like the Terminator 2 game that like you started in that era with like all the shitty like helpers helping you and with like all the outdated guns, mm-hmm. and the bleak war zone of just a city on fire. So I'm like, oh, like please don't just explore that again. Have it be interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll do it. It's one of the many, many, many anime shows that are coming to Netflix. We've talked like Splinter Cell, Assassin's Creed, like more Castlevania and Blood of Zeus, Kong Skull Island, Tomb Raider, like there's tons of anime shows coming to Netflix in the near future here. So we also found out this week that a District 9 sequel is getting written. Only, you know, like 10 years after the first one came out, or like slightly under 10 years, because the first one was 2009. But yeah, apparently Neil Blomkamp and Charlotte Copley, and then their writing partner Terry Tatchell are writing a District 10 script right now. Mm-hmm. That I guess we'll pick up like continue a story from the first one, with I guess Charlotte Copley's character got like. I guess maybe we'll follow him as like his new alien form, and then see what the hell's going on with that. And I guess what happens to the district after the aliens leave? Because the end of District 9 is like they got their ship repaired and they like left, but then like Vickis, Charlotte Copley's character Vickis, was like transformed into an alien. So
yeah, but then it's like. Wasn't he stuck on District 9 anyway? And then he's waiting for the other alien to come back potentially to turn him back into humans? Because it took him like
Yes. That was the setup. It
takes him 3 years to go back, and then it's probably gonna take like another year to come back again.
Yeah. So that's probably gonna be the setup. Is like, oh, like they've come back and they're gonna help. Like Christopher, the alien, is gonna help maybe turn Charlotte Copley back into a human or something. But yeah, I think it was a couple years ago. There was like an AMA or something with Neil Blomkamp. He said like it's definitely gonna still be in like South Africa, like Johannesburg, South Africa, and yeah, definitely gonna like focus on Vickis and Christopher and like those characters in the first one. Although that's kind of the only sort of info we have. There's like no other info about what this would be. So I would like to see what the like alien planet is like, maybe just like get a glimpse of like what the hell that planet looks like where they came from.
Yeah, whatever weird bug planet they came from. But the thing is, like, they left in an orbiting ship, and then that ship hovered over District 9
because they ran out of like they lost the fuel source or something, I think is what happened.
Yeah, and they thought that the ship had awesome cool stuff in it, but it was just starving aliens.
Yeah, so I guess it was like a refugee ship or something. So it wasn't like maybe their planet is dead or something.
Or yeah, like... what? Or it's like, you know, there's other possibilities, because at least like they left the opening and the ending ambiguous, so it didn't write themselves in a corner. But then when they do District 10, it's just like, well, it's gonna be a lot of setup, because. I remember District 9, it took like a little bit of marketing and then word of mouth for that movie to really get popular.
Yeah.
Because even on paper, it sounds weird. And it has like a few rough spots trying to get into it. It's definitely not a movie you can only see once in a while, because it's it's a rough movie, like, watch it over and over again. You know, it's not like, let me watch this, like, political sci-fi action movie. So, it's definitely not one of my favorite sci-fi movies, only because, like, it's stressful to watch. Because you're just, like, anxious all the time.
I mean, it's definitely the best Neil Blomkamp movie. Like,
yes, I would rather watch that than Chappie.
or Elysium.
He wrote Elysium too?
He directed Elysium, yeah. That was his follow-up to District 9.
I thought Chappie was.
No, it was District 9, Elysium, Chappie was like the order for those.
Wow. All right, well, then Elysium is better than Chappie. I did not like Chappie.
Yeah, Chappie was very weird.
It was like trying to do both things at once, but then it was like, well, the future is robots. Like, it's just like, forget like the rich or the poor. Now it's all about humans and robots and souls.
Yeah.
And what's that band?
Diane Wood. Yeah, and Hugh Jackman with the mullet, and he made like a fake Ed 209. Because there's also like a lot of RoboCop in there too. It was like Hugh Jackman basically makes a fake Ed 209.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chappie was very bizarre. Neil Blomkamp has been like doing like all those like short films on his like Oat Studio YouTube channel. And those were, like, kind of hit and miss, too, but, like, some of them were, like, really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, like, one that's, like, Firebase, which is, like, basically, like, a, like kind of had, like, a Metal Gear, like, Snake Eater vibe, because, like, Vietnam, but there's, like, weird, like, supernatural soldiers around and stuff. And apparently he made a movie in Canada during quarantine here, like during the pandemic, that's coming out this year sometime, called Demonic. And I think he made like he also made like another he was working on another movie called Inferno, but that got kind of shut down because of the pandemic. So, and he's also had a bunch of like he was going to work like he was working on, and then like that just haven't happened. Like he was supposed to like make like the RoboCop reboot or something. And then that, didn't, like, then, like, also, like, he was, like, working on, like, that, like, a new Alien movie, and then that never happened either, so, like...
Yeah, that one is heartbreaking. Out of everything, I wish he was making that Aliens movie.
Yeah.
He's a good visionary. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything looks great. It's just... Maybe the production costs has cost too much. He doesn't have the rights to do half the things he wants to do. I have no idea what's stopping him from...
I feel like he... He and Guillermo del Toro, definitely just signed to a bunch of stuff, and then kind of, like, some of it, like, just never happens for whatever reason. Because Guillermo del Toro, like, is, like, always, it has, like, a million projects happening, and then, like, some of them don't, like, never come to happen. But yeah, hopefully District 10 happens. I guess we'll see after they write it, and then see how it progresses from there. But you know, speaking of Aliens, we did learn this week that there's a new Aliens video game coming. Aliens Fire Team is coming this summer to, I believe, all the consoles. So I believe both Xboxes, both PlayStations and PC. And it's going to be a co-op shooter where you have teams up to three people, and you're basically going through different alien-style environments, like overrun facilities and colonies and ships, and then taking down xenomorphs.
Yeah, I mean, It's the alien shooter game that we wish Colonial Marines would have been. If it's like, oh, you didn't get, like, the story or, like, the AI right, just make it a survival shooter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just do that, and people will be happy. You don't need to overcomplex it.
And it's being developed by Cold Iron Studios, which I'm not sure what else they have done. yeah, I don't think they really have any other. I can't really find any like other big games that, like if that, or any other games that they really worked on. Like they've like usually when you Google them, like it says what games they worked on, but I can't see anything. So maybe this is their first big game or something. But yeah, it can't be any worse than Colonial Marines. That's for right. sure. Although apparently, like Alien Isolation was like really good though. So it's been a mixed bag for Aliens games recently. And yeah, so sometime this summer is when Fireteam's coming out, so you can definitely check that out. And then other movie-based video game news: there's a Zombieland VR game coming in the spring, so I guess in the next couple months here. Zombieland VR. What's the full title? Oh, Headshot Fever. Zombieland VR Headshot Fever is coming to all of the VR platforms, so Oculus Quest, Rift, Steam VR, Vive Port, PlayStation VR, and yeah, it's basically kind of like an arcadey zombie shooter. Like you get put in different environments and you have to just take down zombies as fast as you can. And it's definitely like they're definitely encouraging like combos and stuff. Like there's like a whole thing where like if you get multiple headshots, you get like a slowdown, and then you like can like take down zombies faster. You're trying to get like the best score because it's some sort of like there's like this conceit where it's like it's some sort of like contest. It's like a Zombieland invitational contest where like whoever is like the best zombie killer or something.
Yeah, it's more arcadey instead yes. of like a story, which I think is fine because if they try to do like a live through the movie moments, it would probably be worse.
Yeah, and
I mean, it's also kind of like it came out near like a year or two after the first movie, like I mean, the second movie, so it's like kind of late on the Zombieland bus.
Yeah, two was fine, like Double Tap was fine, but it's like no one like it didn't like it's not like. I don't think it did, like, it did okay at the box office, too, but, like, it did not really have an impact. Like, it's just, everyone's just like, all right, that was fine. And just moved on. Like, that was 2 years ago, too, so. And it looks like, this game, it has the, like, likenesses, I believe, or, like, at least, like, kind of, like, somewhat, like, cartoonish likenesses of like the main cast, but none of them are doing the voices, and it's very noticeable they're not doing the voices. Like the guy who's doing the Woody Harrelson impression is okay, but the rest of the characters are definitely like it's like very very obvious that it's not the actual person. And it's also because there's tons of zombie VR games already that like definitely like look better than this one, and they've been out for like already been out for like years. Like there's like Arizona Sunshine, and there's like the Walking Dead game, like Sinners and Saints, is apparently really great. I haven't played that one yet, but and yeah, there's a couple other like zombie games that are like and they're also like that like arcadey, like just drop you to a level and kind of just take like a old school light gun, just like move through the level style game. So yeah, it's definitely a crowded market, and I don't know if the like IP is enough to like really put it above anything that's already come out. So but I guess we'll see. It's coming out in the spring. We might be able to maybe it'll be like in the Gamebox 2.0 article in a month or two here. We'll talk about it
when it comes out, or yeah. You know, when it gets released on mobile.
Yeah, that's what you're saying too. Like, it has kind of a mobile game vibe. Like,
this is like a Tapper kind of FPS. I've been
build your Zombieland city. Like, build your own city and have the Zombieland crew help you build it.
I thought that would have been a great like tie-in. You know, that would have like, been something.
It's just tapped out with Zombieland.
Yeah, or just like a simple like tower defense thing.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't realize, you know, that's what would work, but missed opportunity. I don't know. Maybe if they ever want to do a Zombieland, like, expanding universe of other characters and stories, maybe, like, oh, you know, like a parody, it, you know, it's become like a parody Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So, if they ever, like, I'm pretty sure the games aren't going to spark that trend, because the games look like a weird tie-in, like, just like an outdated tie-in, but it doesn't mean that, like, there's not potential for, like, fun zombie games that are, like, you know, don't take themselves too serious. Because even The Walking Dead had, like, a weird mobile tie-in game, which I have not heard about it in a while.
Well, I think there was, like, there was one that was, like, a, it was one of those, like, mobile, like, RPGs, kind of, where it's, like, it had, like, you do, like, like turn-based battles, and you, like, build up the city and stuff. But there's also, like, there's also one that I think is, like, more like Pokemon Go, where it's, like, an AR game, where you, like move, like, you, like, actually go to, like, physical locations and fight zombies in, like, different, like, areas. Mm-hmm. Like, wherever you are, you, like, fight zombies there. So I think, yeah, I think there's, like, at least two Walking Dead games on mobile. But, yeah, so moving on to other news. We're getting a reboot of Silent Night, Deadly Nights.
I felt like they tried to have been doing this. It's like one of those things we talk about every few years.
Yeah, there was one in 2012 that they tried to, like, it was just Silent Night. It wasn't Silent Night, Deadly Night, but that was a reboot, like a remake of the Silent Night, Deadly Night. It had, like, Malcolm McDowell in it and stuff. But yeah, I mean, the original is cult classic. Although I think most people like 2 is, like, the one that has kind of, like, gained has the most cult like status because of, like, obviously because of Garbage Day and stuff. But yeah, I don't know like what you do for, like, a reboot. Like, I would say, like, lean into more into, like, the, like, ridiculous, like, Garbage Day stuff. Like, either lean into, like, the ridiculous stuff, or, like, make it, like, a very, like just, like, totally, like, deadly serious, like, holiday slasher movie. Although, I feel like if you're making a slasher movie, like, nowadays, though, you kind of, like, lean into, like, the, like, it's more, like, it's, most of them are, like, meta now. Like, they definitely lean into, like, the tropes and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think, no one's making, like, this is a deadly serious slasher movie. Like, everyone's always, like, everyone who's making slasher movies are fans of slasher movies. They're just making, like homages and, like, references to, like, the classics and, playing up tropes and stuff. So, but yeah, there's no casting, no director news. It's just, like, this production company, these two production companies have gotten, like, the rights to Silent Night, Deadly Night, and they're gonna make a remake of it.
I mean, you don't need exactly do a shot for shot remake, or, like, not even, like, following the same plot. You can just do, like, another killer Santa Claus
movie. Yeah. All you need is just, like, a killer, like, someone dressed as Santa Claus with an axe, just, like, killing people. That's Silent Night, Deadly Night.
That's it. You don't need to do some sort of, like, historical character, like, it has to be this, like, I don't understand why it takes so long for them to get the rights, you know?
Mm-hmm. I feel like in the remake, though, you have to have a Garbage Day scene, even though that was, like, part 2 originally. Like, that's the only thing that anyone knows now of Silent Night, Deadly Night is, like, Garbage Day. So I feel like you have to, like, somehow incorporate that into, like, this remake. And part 2 is, like, 80% the first movie anyway, right? Because, like, was it part two, like, just, like 70% flashbacks to, like, like, it's just footage from the first movie again?
Well, it's, like, the guy who's the, I think it's the killer.
It's the brother of the killer.
Who's having garbage day guy. Yeah.
But he's flashing back to, like, the scenes from the first movie because they, like, just to save money, they just, like, used footage from the first movie again.
And he's the killer now?
Yeah, his brother, I think was, like, killed in the first movie. So then, like, now his brother's, like, also snaps and, like, starts killing people.
And then it's just, like, a family tradition for them to, like, kill on Christmas, I guess.
Yeah.
Because after that was it, right? It's only two movies?
I think there might be a bunch. I think there might be at least three.
Why would they want more of this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't need exactly a Silent Night, Deadly Night. Like, not everyone remembers the franchise vividly. They just remember, like, Garbage Day.
Yeah. There's five movies in the original series.
Oh my god, that's way too many.
Yeah. And the fourth and fifth one have no connection to the original movie.
Yeah, eventually, when sequels kind of get that long and they're not maintained, they eventually just have no focus anymore. They're just like, I don't know, they just want the title. They pay for the license for the title.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess four and five were kind of like, they were like, kind of like Halloween 3 Season of the Witch style, where it was just like, they were just like a different, like story set during Christmas that had nothing to do with like Billy or Ricky, the original two murderers. It seemed like it became a Christmas anthology series for the last two. Just like, these are just two different stories about like Christmas and killing people. But yeah, I guess we'll have to see what happens with this reboot, Silent Night, Deadly Night reboot. So last news for this week is that we got a couple TV renewal bits of news. So Superman and Lois has had two episodes and it's already renewed for season two.
I mean, it's so weird that they jumped to the season two renewal like as soon as the premiere. They're like, yep, it's happening.
Well, I mean, I guess they're gonna have some holes in like the Arrowverse because like Supergirl's ending, Black Lightning's ending, so.
I mean, why did they not talk about the other Batgirl, Batwoman, because of whatever reason? Did you see that they edited out Ruby Rose and?
I don't know how that works. Like they in the crisis or whatever. Like yep. I don't know what that's weird.
Honestly, I didn't even watch it, but I was like, yeah, that's weird because they own all the rights. What kind of weird thing are they doing?
And why would you like? Because they're still acknowledging that her character is like exists in the universe. It's not like she got wiped out of the universe or something. It's just like she's quote unquote missing right now. So
yeah, that's super suspicious.
But I guess Superman and Lois had a pretty strong debut. So it had a strong debut across live and like TVR and like the CW app. So that's definitely why it got renewed. It's one of the stronger like CW debuts recently. So. And then The Simpsons got renewed for seasons 33 and 34.
Well, Disney bought them, so you know they didn't want their money's worth.
Yeah, they need to like keep pumping the seasons to Disney Plus. So by the end of season 34, there will be 757 episodes of The Simpsons,
making it like the longest series running again.
It broke that record like years ago. Like, yeah. It's the longest running show in television history. So.
They're just like lapping all the records now.
Yeah.
I mean, what even comes close? I gotta like Google that. I don't even know what show has that many seasons and is like still. I mean, it's debatable, still watchable. I'll still watch it. I was never good at following The Simpsons too much because, like, I always had other things to watch. But
Family Guy's gonna have is up to season 20, or it's gonna be it got renewed for seasons 19 and 20. I mean, Law and Order's got to be up there. Like, SVU has got to be, like, what season is SVU on? Like, that's one of the closest
Law
ones.
And Order. See, if they just made Law and Order without the spinoffs, maybe Law and Order's got a chance. I mean, Law and Order's only been, like, 20 years. No, it's Law and Order SVU is only, like, 20 years.
Oh, yeah, it's 22 seasons of Law and Order. Well, I mean, the show that The Simpsons broke the record for was Bonanza.
Ah. Yeah, that was like 10, 12 years of running.
Gunsmoke. That was the one that The Simpsons broke the record for, so. I feel like there was another, Bonanza had a record and Gunsmoke had a record, and The Simpsons, like, broke both of those, so. But yeah, I mean, that I forget what season it was, but like that season, I think it was like season 11 where they did it was like the VH1 behind the laughter episode, mm-hmm. where they had like that song where like they'll never stop the Simpsons. Like, I feel like at all, because it's like all the ridiculous like plots that they're gonna like start using because it's like never ending. Like, I feel like they're gonna start using those plots, and it's gonna be like that song's gonna be like. True now. Like what if Marge became a robot? Like,
oh, that happened.
Yeah,
like, and here's the thing, I still play the Simpsons Tap Out,
yeah,
and I still don't understand like the current like quests that are based on the current season, but the Marge robot is like a character I unlocked,
yeah,
so I assume she might come back in like some other weird thing. I don't. Have they introduced new characters yet?
Like, I mean, obviously, there's still like one-off like guest characters and stuff. Like Pete Holmes was on last season for like a two-part thing. I mean, I think the biggest change recently is that they're having like they're doing like the black characters are being voiced by black voice actors. Like, they changed Carl's voice to like, I forget who's voicing him, but it's not like Harry Shearer or whoever was voicing him before. And then they just had like Kevin Michael Richardson is Dr. Hibbert now. So it's gonna probably take a while to get used to that, because like it's definitely jarring after like 30 years of like the same voices now that they have different voices. But yeah, I mean, yeah, there's not any, like, it's mostly the same it's they're kind of just like trucking along with like their usual stuff. Like, there's something like that, there's that, it's like the voice acting is like the biggest change that's happened recently. So yeah, they didn't introduce like a new character or like new things or anything. So
I'm only saying that because I'm like, oh, maybe if we had like another Simpsons character from the family or something,
bring Roy back. that was like when they like parodied bringing a new character in, and it just got you Poochie. It's like, Roy. I feel like there hasn't been like a Sideshow Bob episode in a while either. So
I feel like there was.
I could be wrong. I mean, there's like. I feel like there's at least one every season or every other season.
That makes sense. It's like tradition. You need one Sideshow Bob character shows up, tries to kill.
Yeah.
He might be like, no, I'm good, and haha, I tricked you.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess these 700th episode is going to be in a couple weeks here on March 21st. So, get ready for that, and then I wonder if they're ever going to do another movie, which I'm sure Disney would probably want to do another movie at some point, but...
Oh, boy. Here comes the tie-in for foods and stuff, and...
Yeah.
I don't know what else. Beer? Finally make that Duff beer everywhere?
Yeah. Turn Burger King into a...
Krusty Burger?
So, yes, that's it for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And, Chris, did you see anything last week or so here?
Yeah, to get ready for Coming to America 2 that's happening this week.
Yep.
I saw Coming to America 1. And it still is funny. It still holds up in some ways. It definitely captures the perfect 80s New York attitude and, like, how... the world didn't understand Africa back then, because Zamundo was like this fantasy version of like Nigeria, or I don't know what part of Africa. But it was this you know, fantasy setting that is so out of this world that when he comes to America, like everything's so distant. And that's one thing I couldn't figure out about the Zamunda, like, society structure. And the movie really just, like, doesn't stick around to talk about it because it's just so bizarre. Because, like, that whole kingdom, I don't know how it's, like, it's not like it have, like, an export or import, you know? It's, like, how is this, they're, like, a rich nation?
Yeah, they're basically Wakanda. Like, they just, like, exist on their own and, like, don't, like, affiliate with the outside world at all.
Yeah. So stuff like that is like the weird part, which they quickly like don't introduce, like just like keep going, like they had no time to spend on that, which is fine. Then you get the queens in the 80s section where it's just like the town is like Queens. Granted, New York in the 80s was rough. It was not a fun city. It was like graffiti everywhere, like porn sex shops still around. Taxi Driver was only three or four years prior to Coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still in that era of just dirty ass New York. So the Eddie Murphy parts are great. Like Arsenio Hall and Eddie Murphy it's just a fun combo together. Even though I still don't like, I recently watched the honest trailers of Coming to America where it points out like Simi, Arsenio Hall's character. He's just kind of like a servant or like his, like, yeah, he's a servant, but he's like his friend. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
He's not equal to the prince, but
no.
He has no standing with the family.
He's like a manservant or a butler or something, basically.
There's a lot of great quips about them together and then them trying to like get used to like work. And then, you know, the pains of working in like the low tier job, which is fun. Like that's universally fun. And there's a great like side characters that build up that storyline. You know, I want definitely excited about the new movies, like the barbershop group is fun.
Mm-hmm.
The McDowell storyline is like a fun subplot that, you know, they don't pay attention to a lot, but when it pops up, you're like, it really takes you out of place, and you're like, wow, it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
The love story is kind of weird. You know, that's the main point of the movies for Eddie Murphy, find love and a wife. But he's only in that city for like 2 weeks or something like that, like 2-3 weeks, like really, really low. But he gets a lot done in those 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, again, so fun. Still a great Eddie Murphy comedy that shows that, like, you know, he gets, like, comedy in that era. Like, young Eddie Murphy before he did, like, more Beverly Hills Cop stuff and he wanted to do, like, action or family-oriented comedy. I don't mind this. However, I kind of remember seeing more Coming to America that's on TV and I forgot how much nudity there was in Coming to America. It's like the first 10 minutes, there's like tits.
Yeah, you just watched like the edited for TV version.
I have. I've seen it more than when I saw it again on Amazon Prime, like uncensored. I was like, wow, this is way more raunchier in tone and in editing than I remember. But again, I seen like the toned down version a lot more. I was like, okay, like, yeah, that I definitely remember this is an R-rated comedy, but it deserves to be. I don't know if the next movie's gonna. I feel like the next movie, Coming to America 2, probably no tits.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out this weekend and then get back to it.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see some dicks.
To even things out.
Yep. I'm fine with that. It's 2021.
So, anything else, Chris?
My fiance made me watch a little bit of Twilight series. I got to see the first movie, just the regular Twilight, and New Moon, and I felt terrible for it. So, let me tell you, the Twilight movies are so goddamn cringy, like, now that more time has passed, and now that, like, I'm older watching this, and I'm just like, how was this a phenomenon?
Yeah.
How were these movies, like, impactful? I guess if you're, like, in eighth grade, it's definitely, like, an eighth grade to early high school romance, like, dream before reality hits you. Like, I know we saw the first movie, like, with riff tracks and with alcohol, and it's, like, the only way to watch it.
Yes.
But I saw the sober by accident, just kind of like, oh, shit, it's just on and nothing else is on, so I guess we'll watch it.
Yeah.
But I don't enjoy them. It's definitely not my thing. I kind of miss that crazy era where it's just like you lied to your friends who are girls that you like Jacob or Edward just to like kind of start a conversation, but you wish like it never went further than that. It was that weird era in 2009 when that was just like a thing. But now you realize how bad the writing is and how bad the dialogue is in this movie. And now I understand the criticisms of like Edward Patterson it's Edward Patterson, right? Yeah.
Well, you're like,
I'm fusing names. God damn.
Yes. Edward Cullen is his
name.
Robert,
right?
Pattinson's
Robert Pattinson. Name. I was just getting Edward Patterson. I'm just like, this fucking movie got in my head. But yeah, so it's Robert Patterson. Like he hasn't quite figured out acting yet in this series. Like, or he's not allowed to act, but he definitely has potential in other movies. So I was like, when I'm watching this, I'm like, what's happening? Is he on like muscle relaxants? What? And then Kristen Stewart, terrible.
I think they're definitely both like more like, especially seeing what they're in like after the Twilight series, like they're like in like more interesting movies. Like I feel like they didn't really want to be like movie stars. They wanted to do like interesting movies, and then they got roped into this like stupid vampire teen fantasy thing, and they're just like, ugh. Because I think by the end of it, I think even like in the first one, but like definitely by the end of that series, they just both were just like, we fucking hate these movies so much.
We signed like a super big deal contract to be in these. I could see that. Like, yeah. I definitely feel the pain for them when they talk about, they look back, not like too fondly on the series. It's weird. But yeah, man, like it is the perfect way to understand this thing. It's like, the situation they're in is very mature because it's like, you know, very dark and stuff, like the vampire society, the choices in life to be immortal and stuff. You know, that's high stakes, even for like a high school drama, right? Mm-hmm. But the way they interact and talk to each other, it's like middle school, like play dialogue. It's so weird that like an adult approved some of the writing. Because it's just, like, delivered in this jarry way, and then the way they all, like, have the chemistry is so, like, fugly, you know?
Yeah.
It's definitely, like, if you told me that Robert Patterson and Kristen Stewart were dating during this movie, I'd be like, they were? You know, it's like, were they hiding it? It just doesn't look good. So, yeah, I definitely need, like, a reboot movie to watch, like something to like kind of like I watched that recently. I watched it like yesterday, so it's like still fresh in my head.
Yeah, I definitely feel like everyone in that movie kind of is just trying was trying to put that behind them. like definitely Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson are just trying to like erase that, like just trying to like do anything they like interesting movies to like get like erase like that those movies from like their like filmography, and then yeah, just like everyone else, like Anna Kendrick was in that movie, like never mentions it, and then like Christian Serratos went to like Walking Dead, and that's her big thing now. So, and then Taylor Lautner disappeared? Like,
well, Taylor Lautner, he one of the things that like they were saying that I mean it's just kind of obvious by now, but like he took steroids to get like a little bigger, because yeah. He gets progressively bigger through the movie. He looks great, but he also was like really young. Mm-hmm. So I think what happened was when he started leading off, it like it happened too much, and he got like kind of out of shape and kind of not the ideal Hollywood body, so he took some time off. Mm-hmm. But in between, he did those really bad movies like Tracer and Abduction.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, because they were trying to like, oh man, yeah, he's the new like action star. Yeah.
But he just, his acting never got it. He potentially, he looked great as an action star if he kept up his like regimen, and he, you know, got a few roles that weren't teen romance things or heartthrobs. Mm-hmm. So if he did that, maybe he the movie would have been a little, like his career would have been more, I don't know, action oriented. But yeah, he just kind of disappeared for a little bit. I know he did like TV shows, but yeah, he just stopped acting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a lot of what ifs. There was potential for him, honestly. His Taylor Lautner, like he could have been like up there. He still can. He's young, but it's just like, eh. At least Robert Pattinson earned his stripes. Like him and Kristen Stewart, like they did movies, like they did things that kind of like change their persona and like throughout the career like become something. Now like now Robert Pattinson's Batman, so you don't just get there by, you know, not working hard.
Yeah, and he was in stuff like Good Times and Lost City of Z and like all these other like weird indie interesting like movies and stuff. So
yeah, I mean you kind of like have to do more roles, like get yourself out there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lighthouse, that was...
Yeah, like, more acting, like, those, he was in movies that, like, movie fans and yeah. acting fans want to see, not just, like, well, I like movies because of, like, the noise, like, it's just, like, I watch the movies for, like, the human performances.
Yeah, I think I read, too, or heard somewhere, too, like Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart made so much money from the Twilight series that's why they can just, like, do what they actually want to do, like act in what they actually want to act in now, because they don't have to really worry about money, because they made like millions of dollars on the Twilight series. So
it makes sense. Like they did it young. They probably didn't blow up all their money. You know, they probably were smart not to buy something crazy. Because you know, if you have like young people a lot of money and like. They're stressful for their job, which, you know, they probably couldn't, they're not enjoying that time now. Like they, you know, they look back at like embarrassment, but they're like, oh, it paid for a lot of things and that freedom. Yeah. But yeah.
I was definitely, if you have to watch those movies, watch them with the riff tracks, because that's like the only way you can really survive them fully. Like the riff tracks for like the first one is like one of the best riff tracks. And I think the New Moon one is like really good too. So, anything else, Chris?
Not like watching my way through Schitt's Creek. So I did watch that right after, like, because mm-hmm. I had to have like something to like make me smile.
Is it the greatest comedy of all time? That like apparently like it won like every, what was it, like the Emmy every Emmy last year? Like,
well, it won like for the last season.
Yeah,
but it's good. I like it, and it's like a nice fun linear comedy that it's like It's almost like Parks and Rec, where like the town is kind of crazy, but like the main cast is really good, and the just how they interact is really great. But yeah, some episodes are kind of like they don't know how to end properly. Like there's a lot of episodes that kind of just like start a storyline and then sort of finish it, and then they don't mention it in the next episode, but they'll bring it up like later in the season. I really do recommend watching it, Zach. It's just like an easy show to just get in. If you can get after the first three or four episodes, if you love it, like you'll definitely love the rest of the series.
I'll probably maybe watch it at some point. I'll add it to my backlog.
I mean, it's only like seven seasons. I'm on season five. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching it since like the summer, so just occasionally going through it now and then. But yeah, still fun. A lot of quirky characters to fall in love with, but honestly, right now the comedy atmosphere, if you finished all the later shows that you want to watch now, like Schitt's Creek is the show you to watch if you haven't watched it at all. Now my thing is, if I finish this within the next month or two, like, what's my next comedy? I might have to start The Good Place or something.
That's definitely one to watch if you haven't watched it yet.
I know, everyone's saying you should, people, like, but that's the thing, it's like, it's a show that people mostly agree is, like, a great show, and then, but it's like, either you love it or you don't. Like, there's no middle ground with that. Mm-hmm. Schitt's Creek, I feel like, is a you love it or you don't show either. Like, it's hard to be like, yeah, I like some of Schitt's Creek. It's like, what's your sum of Schitt's Creek? So same thing with, like, The Good Place. It's, like, the one thing I'm kind of waiting for. And I waited until it was finished so that I can just start marathoning it. Mm-hmm. And I'll get all the jokes from, like, 4 years ago. Or older.
You know, you'll understand why everyone's saying, like, forking.
Forking, and then... Yeah. I feel like there's something else. I remember at Comic-Con, there was a giant fork, and I was like, oh, okay. Then, like, Joe and Irv and Phil had they had explained what that was. Mm-hmm. What about you, Zach? What are you watching?
I watched a couple things. I saw Breach, which is a new Bruce Willis movie that came out end of last year. One of his two sci-fi movies is coming out. So this one came out last year. There's another one coming out, I believe, in the next couple months here called Cosmic Sin with Frank Grillo. But this one is... it's sort of like trying to be like The Thing, I get a little bit. But it's more like just like a zombie movie on a spaceship. But basically... it takes place on this Ark ship that leaves Earth because Earth is basically destroyed. Like it's like, I don't know, 200 years in the future, and like it's just pollution, climate change, all this, everything. Like the Earth is just dead, basically dying and dead. So, humanity builds all these like Ark ships, and they send them off to like New Earth, which is this planet that is like similar to Earth, and humanity can survive there. So the last one that leaves Earth is like this, I think it's like the USS Hercules, and most of the like the passengers are put in like cryostasis, but then there's like a kind of like a skeleton crew of like janitors and engineers and mechanics that are like still awake to like keep the ship running for, like, I think it's like 90 days to get to like New Earth. So, Bruce Willis is like this like grouchy old mechanic, and then Cody Kersley, who is Moose on Riverdale, he's like this janitor who got like stowed away. Like he wasn't actually supposed to be on the ship, but he stowed away and like had like a fake identity put into the computer. He's actually not supposed to be there, but like his pregnant girlfriend is like the daughter of the admiral of the ship, who's played Tom Jane.
Oh, he's in it?
Yeah, he's in it for like 10 minutes. like he gives like this ridiculous speech at the beginning of the movie, and then like goes into cryostasis. He's like, "All right, I'm good luck to the everyone's staying awake. Good luck. I'm going into cryostasis for 90 days or whatever." There's a bunch of other like that guys. Like you'll probably recognize a bunch of like the people in this movie. Like there's a bunch of like character actor guys that you've probably seen a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, basically like it's this like all the skeleton crew is kind of like just like keeping the ship going. But then somehow an alien parasite got aboard the ship, and so it like kind of infects people and turns them into zombies basically. So
it's a zombie movie.
I mean it's they say it's like a shapeshifter alien, but yeah, it basically just turns people to zombies. That's basically what it does. And it's not like the thing or anything where it's like perfectly like mimicking humans. It's just like it infects you and you basically turn into a mindless like drone of the parasite. So it's typical like everyone starts getting killed, and then it kind of whittles down to like this like small group trying to like stop this like parasite. And so you got Cody Kersley, you got Bruce Willis, Rachel Nichols is also in it. She's like one of the like final people. it's all right. It's I feel like Bruce Willis is actually sort of caring about this movie.
Did he explain his ridiculous like costume that he's wearing?
Well, I mean he's wearing like a mechanic jumpsuit basically. That's what he's wearing.
I thought he was wearing like a mech suit.
That's the other one. That's Cosmic Sin that's coming up.
Okay, I'm confusing the two.
Yeah. Cosmic Sin has like it looks like they just straight up ripped off Edge of Tomorrow. Like, this one he just wears like a janitor mechanic like jumpsuit sort of thing. It feels like he's sort of more into it. Like he is sort of having fun, I guess. I have a theory that like because his character is like constantly drinking from like a flask. I feel like he's actually just drinking, like and just getting progressively more drunk as the movie goes on. So I feel like that's why he's like into it. Just like I'm just gonna drink, I fuck you. I'm just gonna drink whiskey the entire time. Like, it's like Bruce, you have to like can you like lay off the whiskey for like a second? It's just like, hey, I'm here, aren't I? Like, shut up. Like, I'm Bruce Willis. Cause yeah, like he definitely seems like he's like starts like slurring his word, like slurring his acting. Like he definitely seems like he's like actually just like chugging alcohol the entire time he's like on screen.
But like, is he like a grizzled ex-marine or something? Where yeah, he's like yes, drinking yes, or something?
Yes, he's like a former soldier, but now he's like a mechanic or something, or like a security officer or something on the ship, and then, Yeah, he's just like constantly like berating the janitor like Cody Kersley like Noah like his character is just like, come on rookie, clean up the bathroom, like which it's weird because like they like Bruce Willis is like a mechanic, but he's the supervisor of the janitor or something. It's like
it's a ranking system.
Yeah, I don't know. And they also have like this weird like there's like a weird like hologram system that like everyone has where you can project a hologram to like talk to people. And so like Bruce Willis just like projects like a it's like a Bruce Willis like hologram head just shows up and it's like, "Hey rookie, yeah, clean the bathroom. Someone made a mess in the bathroom. We'll clean it up." But yeah, it's like it's not great zombie effects, but they're like it's fine. Like everyone has like black goo coming out of their eyes and stuff, so it's fine. And there's some it's definitely like the spaceship set is okay. Like it's not like Red Letter Media has been like recently been like talking about like they've done a bunch of movies recently where it's just like they're like constantly talking about the set looks like it's made of cardboard. But this is actually like kind of a decent like spaceship set, although it definitely seems like they like use like the same hallway like multiple times. They just like make they like use different lights, color lights, to, like make it look like a different section of the ship. But it's a decent like sci-fi horror movie if you want to see like Bruce Willis fight space zombies. It's definitely one of the better Bruce Willis like direct-to-video movies that has recently come out. Like a lot of those are just like so god awful. But Yeah, he seems like he's more engaged in this one, even if he's like drunk. Just like drunk. Yeah, like at least he's doing something and not just like barely keeping awake. And yeah, definitely interested to see how it compares to like this Cosmic Sin movie that's coming up soon. Just like the weird coincidence of like double Bruce Willis sci-fi movie is coming out fairly close together. So I also watched Three Musketeers, the Paul W.S. Anderson movie from 2011, celebrating its 10th anniversary this year.
Can't believe it's been 10 years since that movie came out.
Yeah. Actually, I watched it because I was reading on Outlaw Vern. So, like, Vern, who's, like, he was, like, a writer on, like, Ain't It Cool, and he wrote, like, Seagology, like, the Steven Seagal, like, guidebook and stuff. So he, on his site, like, he's always, like reviewing, like, action movies and, like, different movies and, like, doing, like different, like, retro reviews and stuff. So he did like a, like, I think it was like to go along with like Monster Hunter recently, like he did like a like Three Musketeers review recap. So I read that and I was like, oh, I never actually watched like the 2011 Three Musketeers, so I might as well, it's on Prime Video, I'll watch it now.
It's not bad.
No, it's fun. It's completely ridiculous, but it's definitely fun. Like, it's, I mean, and if you're going in like expecting like a traditional Three Musketeers movie, you're gonna be like very disappointed and angry probably. But like, if you want, because it's crazy steampunk Three Musketeers like insanity. Like, it's like airships and ninja weapons and
like, yeah, it's like cyber. It's like steampunk universe where like things are slightly modernized, but like in a old agey technology way.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, they're flying in a balloon or something.
Well, they make airships, and it's, like, literally a ship. Like a sailing ship, but it's, like, attached to a balloon. That's, like, that's the airships they make. Which is, like, the big, like, because, like, the opening of this movie is crazy, where, like, they're infiltrating Da Vinci, like, a Da Vinci, secret vault. And Da Vinci, like, created, like, is, like, apparently, like, made up the design for this airship. But it's also like this vault is like full of like booby traps and like all sorts. It's like so it's like this like crazy like Indiana Jones kind of style. We have to like break it, or like Ocean's 11 mixed with like Indiana Jones. Like we have to like break into this vault and like pull this heist to like steal like these like this like Da Vinci airship plans. And then you get stuff like where like freaking like Athos gets introduced as like a scuba suit, even though it's like Victorian times or whatever the hell it is. And then has like these like cross like crossbow like clubs where like he pulls out these kempo sticks look kind of, but then they turn into like crossbows where they shoot darts or something, and he's in like a full like scuba suit and stuff. So yeah, so a lot of weird like steampunk technology going on. And also, just, like, the cast of this movie is fucking crazy. Like...
Oh, it's, like, A-listers everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, yes. It's, like... So, I mean, obviously, it's Paul W.S. Anderson movie, so Mila Jovovich is there as M'lady, who is awesome. And it's just either constantly killing people or, like, pulling crazy heists or doing crazy, like, slow-mo Matrix shit and stuff. Like...
She does, the like, hallway with bullets.
The hallway where she's, like, dodging spike balls, and then she just... Later, she does, like, this, like... like jumps off a roof and does like a bungee kind of like a Mission Impossible like bungee jump thing to like plant like evidence, like fake evidence against like the Queen. But yeah, I mean Luke Evans, Ray Stevenson, Matthew McFadden are the Three Musketeers. Like Orlando Bloom's there, Logan Lerman, Mads Mikkelsen, Christoph Waltz.
Wait, Mads Mikkelsen was in this?
Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen is Rochefort, who's like the head of Christoph Waltz's like guards. He's like the evil like eye patch guard who is like who because he like D'Artagnan, like Logan Lerman has like the that's like his main adversary is like Rochefort. Because like that's like the big final fight is like D'Artagnan versus Rochefort. And yeah, Christoph Waltz is the cardinal. And yeah, a lot of fun like sword fight stuff, a lot of like fun like slow mo stuff. I forgot. Also, in the cast, James Corden is like comic relief like assistant. the Musketeers have like James Corden is like their, manservant. They're like constantly insulting him.
Yeah, it's funny because he's like the only person that's out of place because everyone's like an action star or something, but then he's just like the bumbling servant.
Yes.
I felt like if he was also kind of action, like if he was like an Alfred where like he doesn't always do something action, but like when the time is needed, he can like at least throw a punch.
Yeah.
But James Corbin is just like not. He's just like standing in the background.
He's either stealing food or just like getting yelled at by like Ray Stevenson. Like Ray Stevenson just is like constantly telling him to just shut up or whatever. So it's just, like,
yeah, it's just James Corbin in like the early 2000s.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely fun. Like if you've never seen it before, I would say definitely check it out. Like it's not the most accurate. Like if you're looking for like accuracy in your Three Musketeers movies, like it's not gonna. It's definitely not that, but like if you're looking for just like ridiculous fun, a lot of swashbuckling sword stuff going on, like it's definitely worth checking out. And then last thing is I saw the first episode of the new show Debris. It's on NBC.
Oh, Space Garbage.
Yes, Space Garbage, Space Junk, the show. I feel like at least like. Every season, I feel like there's at least one show that's kind of like trying to like chase the lost dragon, where it's like, oh, this it's a big mystery box. Like, what's the mystery of the show? Like, you know, there's like NBC, like two like what was it 2 years ago? Like, I mean, it's still going on right now. It's still airing, but like Manifest was on. That was their big like mystery show.
Oh, the plane full of things.
Yeah, there was like last year, like ABC had like Emergence, which is like the big like mystery box show that they canceled. I feel like Debris. It's definitely setting up like some stuff for like the season, but it definitely feels like it's gonna be more like episodic. It doesn't all hinge on like a mystery, like some of the other shows that have tried to be lost in recent years, but. Yeah, basically, it is it's pretty interesting because it takes place like pretty far into like this like event that's been happening. Like it doesn't take place at the beginning of like this event. It's like actually like you're like months into it already happening. Yeah,
because it made it seem like it happened, and then it's like the fallout from this weird space junk.
Yeah, but so basically, I mean, right. In the beginning of the episode, like there's text comes on the screen. It basically says an alien spacecraft was spotted in like space 3 years ago, and then it was a wreckage of alien spaceship, and then like parts of it, like pieces of it have been falling to Earth for like the last 6 months. So you're basically 6 months into like this like weird alien debris hitting Earth. So there's already like there's a task force already set up called Orbital, which is like a like joint like MI6. MI6 and the CIA have basically joined forces, and they create this new agency called Orbital that basically like goes around and like investigates all these. Anytime a piece like falls to Earth, they like go and investigate what's going on with it. And it's sort of like every piece kind of has a different property, or it can like cause a different thing to happen. Like there's a piece that like causes things to phase through like objects. And there's like a piece and like different pieces can like allow people to like teleport and stuff. And basically, Orbital is trying to they're sort of like Men in Black esque because they're trying to like contain like these pieces and like try to like have as little people as possible see like these like, this like alien technology and like get affected by it.
So I'm a little confused because it seems like it's all from the same alien thing, but then they all have different powers from being in space or for the alien technology.
I'm gonna assume. That they'll probably maybe get into like that as the season goes on. They do have some sort of way of like categorizing like they have a way of categorizing the energy level of the pieces, and they have like different like categories of the pieces. And the first episode they're referencing like past cases, and like it's like, oh, this is similar to that thing that happened in England, like this that piece that happened in England, like this is similar to that or whatever. So but they don't really explain like how one piece is like has the phasing power and the other piece has like a teleporting power. They haven't really gotten to that yet. Like maybe they'll like happen as the show as like the season goes on.
Okay.
But yeah, basically this first episode is there's a pretty huge chunk that like hit like somewhere in Kansas near Wichita in Kansas, and it basically brings back like this like dead it kind of like manifests like this like dead child, and this, like this mother this mother goes out to like this piece of debris and like is like it starts like pulling memories of like her dead son out, and then it basically like makes like a physical copy of her son, but then the son is like bright like it's kind of like mind controlling people like different like women to like be his mother and like reenacting like his car crash that killed him. So he's like just like what like he's like brainwashing like or like mind controlling the like people and like basically and then like having them drive to like the same spot where like the car crash happened, and like they're basically like piling up in like this like kind of like magnetic storm tornado of, like they're like floating in like this like field where like
the car crash happened. The trailer.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the first case. It's like they like are trying to like find this like weird dead alien boy and stop him from like brainwashing more people. And it definitely seems like every episode is gonna be like kind of like an episodic like, oh, we gotta go to this new place because a new piece of debris fell and it's causing like this new weird thing to happen. So yeah, so it definitely has like an X-Files kind of thing too, where there's the main duo is like one is an MI6 agent, one's a CIA agent, and then they're like teamed up together and they're the main two, and they're going around to different places around the world like, wherever like debris happens. But it seems like they're also setting up like a season long, definitely like some sort of like season long arc or like an arc where it's like there's like a black market group that's like trying to like buy and like find the pieces of debris and sell them before like the orbital agency can find them. So trying to like find them and stop them, and the CIA is actually like using the pieces to like rebuild the ship. So that seems like it's gonna be like kind of a big thing toward like for the season. It's like they're like every piece they like collect, they like putting it back together.
My thing is like, why? Because obviously the aliens, something went wrong with them where they crashed. It's like, we should build the same ship that crashed. It's like,
yeah,
you're just gonna crash again.
Yeah. But yeah, it seems to be good. Like if you're into like sci-fi, like X-Files kind of things, or like X-Files or Fringe or something like that, like it seems like it's gonna be pretty cool. I'm definitely gonna keep watching at least a couple more episodes and see where it goes. And that's gonna do it for me this week. So we'll wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We got all of our regular features up there. You can still head over to the site and check out our Showdown commentary. We watched the 1983 Billy Blanks classic for last month's commentary. This month we're gonna be doing. I believe we're going to be doing Highlander because it's the 35th anniversary of Highlander this month. So, gonna head to Scotland and reunite with Connor McLeod and
find the
Ramirez and get our quickening on. So that'll be later this month. So definitely check out Showdown right now and then come back for Highlander later this month. And all of our features are up on the site as well. So head over and check all that stuff out. And for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week. For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, @EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram, @everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.